It's just like, I mean, so much more than just the fact that obviously he lives in a black city. He plays for an organization that is majority black people. So, and I remember New Orleans, people love him out there. Like, it's almost kind of creepy a little bit. Like, they look at him as this kind of just idol. And so I think it's just so disappointing that, well, first of all, it's sad because he knows better. You know what I mean? It's not like he's ignorant to the fact of what's going on. So that's what makes it worse for me is like, bro, like, about the black community, you know about what we've gone through. Like, this is nothing new to you. And the fact that you still decided to talk about the flag in the military, and you know damn well, I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
And you know that's not what it's about. And so it's just like the fact that he just was so ignorant about it. But you know what? I feel like it's kind of weird because I feel like there's some of his teammates who are commenting about it, and it's just like, I'm glad that they held him accountable, but they're also, once he issued his apology, they're like, whatever he apologize, let's focus on the real issue now. I know there's some people that are kind of moving in that direction. There's some people who are just like, nope, not letting this go, can't let this slide. And so I don't even know where to even go with that situation, because it's like, on the one hand, I don't even want to focus my attention on him, because at the end of the day, that he's I don't want to even put that much energy in towards him when that's not the battle we're trying to fight as a black community. You feel me? But at the same time, I don't want to just condone that either.
Yeah. So one thing that to me sticks out about that situation is that it shows you how ignorant white people could be to what's going on in the black communities, even though they're surrounded by black people.
And that's
It's like,
scary.
because Drew Brees had no idea what the real issue was, and like he just and like he's around black
Yes,
people
that's
all
so
the time.
true.
Like, that's wild.
Hi, Coco.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing okay.
We were talking about the Floyd situation as well as the Drew Brees situation and what he said. So if you want to say anything on that, you can.
Oh, okay. I'm here to listen.
Okay, well, we're gonna hop right into the questions. Everybody got a copy of them, right? Okay, cool. Okay, so let's jump right in. So I'm gonna start out with Aaron. But actually, let me just introduce you guys really quick. So Aaron's on the line. His name's Aaron. Monique's on the line, and Coco. Okay. So, Aaron, what is your favorite sports hero?
So my favorite sports hero is LeBron James. I think one, I believe personally he's the best basketball player to ever play. Second, I think when he gets on the court, like he makes everybody around him better, and he also gives back to his community with the I Promise School that he made in
Okay,
Akron
I
and
love
everything.
LeBron, but
Like,
I like
I
Kobe
think he's
more,
just an
but that's
all
okay.
around awesome person.
All right, Monique, what about you?
Yeah, so I'm big Kobe all day, so that's my favorite sports hero. Honestly, I think the first time that I ever watched, yeah, I think the first time I remember watching Kobe was, yeah, I was little, like probably kindergarten or first grade or something. And yeah, I think that for me, my main thing is just his mentality and the way that he went about the game. Don't get me wrong, a lot of people have different opinions about Kobe the person, some of his antics, but for me, I just think that his just ambition and tenacity for the game of basketball to do whatever it takes to win and just to have that work ethic and work so hard to be the greatest at your craft. I feel like for me, that's always just inspired me to kind of do that, not just in sports, but just in all aspects of life. And I feel that just kind of mentality resonated with me the most, as far as just looking up to somebody. I don't know. I just feel like I can do anything. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. What about you, Coco? Who's your favorite athlete?
I feel like obviously right now is going to be LeBron James, just because like we kind of grew up with LeBron James being that star and that person in our just in our years. And I don't know, like I really just like all sports in general, and I feel like a lot of the athletes in their own way do give back to community, and it's up to them to really say that what they want to do in the community, like, you know, put your money where your mouth is, and you say you're going to help, and if you're making all this money, like, definitely put it back towards the community. But yeah, like, I just support any athlete that wants to do better in their community. So
I like that most definitely. Like I said, I'm with Monique with Kobe Bryant. I'm just sorry. Okay, so Monique, what emotions did you feel when you were playing sports? Because I know you are a track legend. So tell me about that.
Thank you. You know, I think that for me, the main emotion that I would feel just playing sports is just like, I feel like a lot of different things, but probably just like nervousness, to be honest. Okay. I don't even know if that's an emotion. I don't know. So I guess a little bit, fear. Is that an emotion? Maybe I'm not using these emotions words correctly. But mainly because I feel like so passionate about my sport and like what I'm doing, that I think that like there was always just I just had so much adrenaline, like ready to go, just not even just at the competition, because the competition, that was just the icing on the cake. I think for me it was just having that adrenaline rush like at practice and putting the pressure on myself to make sure that I'm doing what I need to do there, so that when I get to the competition day, I'm just ready to go. So I just feel like a lot of, I can just imagine when you said that, my heart started beating really fast, because that's like, you know, I feel like that's how it feels whenever I'm getting ready to compete or do something. So yeah, I just feel really just excited, I guess. That would probably just be the main thing, just ready to go and show out and, you know, do what I've been practicing for. And so, yeah, it's excitement to show what I've been working so hard for.
Okay. All right. What about you, Aaron? You played basketball, so what emotions did you feel before a game?
Yeah, so I played basketball, and then I also played football as well. So I feel like those two sports are completely different. So in basketball, I don't consider myself an emotional person, but playing basketball in New York, it's crazy. It's like if you've ever seen a Rucker Park video, like it's accurate. There's people almost standing on the court. Sometimes there's an announcer on the court. There's packed out gyms.
Right.
So of course you're feeling nervous. My motto is like, if you're not nervous, you don't care enough. Like it doesn't mean enough to you. But so yeah, like you're feeling nervous, but I'm also trying to stay loose, because I know if I get too laser focused, like I get really, really hard on myself. So if I stay loose, so honestly, the biggest emotion I had was trying to keep my nervousness in check. Okay. So I don't know if that's an emotion either. But and then in football, the emotion like that I felt, probably just like confidence. Like, I don't know if that's an emotion, like, I don't know. But, like, football, you have to have this crazy confidence, especially because I played wide receiver. You have to have this, I'm the best player on the field mentality. And, like, you can't doubt that for a second. So, like, there's no time for nervousness. There's no time for anything else.
So, Coco, it's just straight confidence. So, what emotions ran through your head before a game?
Yeah, so, like, before every game, like back in high school, everyone had their playlist. Everybody wanted to get pumped up. Everyone wanted to get hype. You know, everybody just wants to get that adrenaline going, getting
into the, you know, for warm-ups and the game and stuff. And, you know, in my mind, I'm feeling like, you know, like I'm needed and I'm wanted and, you know, we all need to come together. And I feel like, you know, responsibility, like, you know, on my hands, and, you know, if I'm the center, if I'm the five or the four, like I'm going through my mind, preparing myself, like, okay, like this is what the four does, this is what the five does. So like, I'm feeling some, like, yeah, like just with the response, like having that responsibility and feeling like needed, and that we are gonna, you know, do what we can to win.
Right. I totally love that. I mean, I used to play basketball as well, and I think everything that you guys have said probably were emotions that went through my head as well as an athlete. So that's good. So, Aaron, when did you start playing basketball and football? Like, what age did you start?
So football, I started really late. I didn't start playing football until I was a freshman in high school. But basketball, I started playing basketball, organized basketball, when I was like 4 or 5 years old at the YMCA.
Yeah, doesn't everybody start there? YMCA, like.
It was either the YMCA. It's a rite of passage.
Like, you have to.
Yep. That makes so much sense. Okay. Monique, right? when did you start doing track?
Well, I mean, I didn't even mention that I played basketball too, because that was like a majority of my life as well. But,
oh, okay. We'll talk about both. That's fine.
But yeah, I started running track when I was 5.
Okay.
And then I was playing soccer at the same time. So I did that until I was about 9. And then when I turned 9, I was like, I'm good off this soccer thing, you know, and I wanted to play basketball. So I just, I just dropped soccer and just started playing basketball, and I loved it. And then I ran track, played basketball, both at the same time ever since 9 all the way up through, well, high school with basketball, and then I went to college with track. But yeah, I think track was already, that was gonna happen, because my dad ran track, my mom ran track, my brother ran track. Like, that wasn't even an option for me. Like, I was going to do it.
Right.
So as soon as I was old enough to do it, I was in it. And to be honest, I don't think I didn't take track seriously until I was about 8 or 9. I think the first few years I was just out there, you know, I was just out there getting last. I was waving to the crowd. Like, I wasn't even, I was just out there for fun. I'm not even gonna lie. And then one time my dad was like, you know, I know this is fun and all of this, but, you know, it's also fun in the front. So you can have fun in the back, but if you're, there's a lot of fun in the front too. And I'm like, okay, sure. Like, let me try that, you know? And so then one day, like, I don't know what was in me. I was feeling excited and I went out there and won. And then ever since then, I was like, well, I like this. This is cool. People are cheering. I'm like, my mom bought me, you know, a little popsicle. Like, this is the life I'm trying to live, you know? And ever since then, I'm like, oh, yeah, track is it. This is it right here. And, like, you know, but basketball, that was cool because it was, you know, it's a team sport versus, you know, track being individual. So that was cool, you know, picking that up, because I felt like I was more a part of a team once I played basketball than with soccer. Soccer, I wasn't really feeling the vibe, so I wanted to kind of switch over. But I think around 9, that was about the age where I was really taking – sports seriously. So I feel like, you know, I probably, maybe if I would have stayed with soccer at that point, maybe I would have like taken it seriously as well. But nah, basketball is much more fun.
Right. I feel like everybody mostly plays, either they start in basketball or they start in soccer. Some start in track depending on like their parents, stuff like that. But yeah. Okay, so Coco, when did you start playing basketball?
I started playing basketball when I was 5 years old. My mom was actually my first coach. Okay. And yeah, like I like what Monique was saying, like I had no choice. Like everybody in my whole household played basketball or played a sport. So it really didn't get too serious for me until I made the 8th grade basketball team. And I was like, oh, wow, I guess I'm really decent. So... and that kind of just opened up my eyes and wanted to get better training and everything. But yeah, like I was like 5 years old when I started.
Okay. That's a good age to start. So I'm going to ask you another question. And I've been having like debates with people about this because some people feel that before a game, you really should listen to music. You should hype yourself up. You should get ready mentally. And some people feel like you shouldn't listen to music. You should really like, I don't know, get into your inner self and talk to yourself. So I just kind of want you guys' opinion on that. So I'll start with Monique. Did you listen to music when you, before a track meet or even a basketball game, to kind of get yourself hyped, pumped up, ready for the game?
Most definitely. I don't even think that I could even get out there without doing that. I was very intense though. Like, I was very serious with track. So like, you know, I would go out there and do my warm up and listen to music. And like, I didn't want to talk to anybody. I wasn't trying to socialize, you know? So, the thing is if I didn't have my headphones in and people felt like it was free reign to come talk to me when I'm trying to focus. So I'm like, no, even if I wasn't listening to music, I just had my headphones in. Cause I'm like, I don't want people to bother me. Like, I was so serious, like with track, like, I don't know. It was just different. Like, I had to just get in the mode. I was listening to just some, yeah, I was listening to some intense music. yeah, it was kind of a lot now. And I really think about my little elementary school self. I was out there, a little CD player at first, and I got the iPod. I was, you know, now all the way till today. Now I got AirPods and iPhone. You know, the music has just transitioned. But yeah, but for basketball, it was dope because it was like, you know, in the gym. Well, not so much when I was younger, but, you know, like in high school, in the gym, you know, they're playing music. I got to actually, for my high school, I picked the playlist, so I had to make a little CD or whatever. And so that was always dope, like getting everybody's input, like what song should we put? And then like we would, depending on, you know, if it was halfway through the season, if we were bored with that, we would make a new one. And so I always thought that was cool, like just going out there, running the laps, warming up with the music. Like, I feel like it just gets you hyped. And like ready to play. So,
okay. Yeah. So you're more on the music is important before a game to get yourself pumped. Okay. What about you, Erin?
So I'm in between. I'm split. So it really just depends on the nature of the sport. Because when I played football, all about the music. Like, I needed music that was going to, like, pump me up, have me ready to run through a brick wall. So we'd be listening to, like, Chief Keef for Lil Durk, or, like, throw back to some Tupac Hail Mary, some stuff like that, that would have you so laser-focused on being tough and, like, so confident that, like, you're the man. Right. That you walk out on the field and, like, you don't fear anything. So that was me in football. But in basketball, I know I needed to stay loose. I know I needed to, like, I still wanted to be confident, but I didn't want to be too hard on myself. So I didn't really listen to music. Like, I'd more chill. Like, I didn't want to think about the game until I was on the court. Like, I knew I needed to stay loose. Because if I got too focused, I get uptight and it messed my whole game up.
Okay. What about you, Coco?
So, that was my mindset.
Coco, are you still there? Oh. I think she was driving, guys. She might have left us. Well, we'll go to the next question. She'll be back. So, Monique, what makes a good captain of a team?
Question. Well, first and foremost, I think definitely somebody that's going to lead by example. But also being vocal with their voice, because I think that I've realized throughout my time, I'm kind of both, you know, I'll lead by example and also, you know, with my voice. But I know that there's some people who they just get thrown into the captain role because they're really good. Right. So it's like, they're supposed to be captain. They're supposed to be this leader, but really, you know, they don't really vocalize in the same way, you know, as other people. So they're just like, no, I just want to lead by example. Like, I don't want to be out there giving speeches and trying to do anything, you know, talking to the team or do anything like that. You know, but I think personally, I think that you need both aspects. I feel like in order to be a captain. And just in my opinion, just because I feel like it's great that people can see you and see what you're doing. But I feel that like it also, when you're a captain, I feel like you're supposed to be encouraging to your team and do those things. So I feel like when you're able to voice, you know, how you're feeling and encourage them and pump them up. And I feel like that's a very important part, because then I feel like it kind of builds a camaraderie, and then they feel like, okay, cool. Like this is my team captain. Like I'm gonna, you know, I'm riding with them. Like they're, you know, not only are they showing what they need to do, but they're also, you know, encouraging me and, you know, telling me that I can do it and all of that stuff. So that's kind of my personal thing. And it's not easy, because even for me, like I've got thrown into the captain role a lot. And even in college, my senior year, I was one of the captains, and I was like, oh, me? You want me to, so what do I do? I'm supposed to talk? Or do I just, I'm like, this is kind of, you know, it's different in college. It's a little bit more intimidating. I feel like there's a lot of people, a lot of really good people. And I'm like, so I think that it's kind of, I think it's an important life skill too. But yeah, I definitely felt like it has to be kind of both, in my opinion, just like leading by example. And that's not to say that the team captain has to be the best athlete on the team, right, per se, you know, but I do believe that, they should be somewhat talented a little bit. Just saying, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to, I'm just saying.
I agree. Oh man. She said they need to be 5-star. Don't play me.
They need to be pretty solid. They can't just be out here, you know, never getting no PT, but they're the team captain. That just seems a little strange, but you know, hey, I get it, you know.
Y'all out.
I mean, I'm sorry.
All right, what about you, Aaron? What do you feel makes a good team captain?
So, number one, I think you have to be a leader. Like, you can't just throw somebody, like she was saying, like, you can't just throw somebody that's good at the sport in a team captain role, because just because you're good doesn't mean people want to listen or follow you. So I think that you have to be, number one, a leader, and you have to be a really good leader. So that means you have to be vocal, you have to lead by example. You have to be able to see greatness inside of your teammates that they can't see in themselves and be able to call that out. Because as a team captain, you're almost like a second coach. Like, they're going to look to you for things. And then also, as a team captain, it's not about you. So to be a great leader, to be a great team captain, you have to be more selfless. So it's not about you getting your numbers per se, but it's about the team winning. Like, so it's, if that means you take 3 less shots a game just to get one of your other teammates more confident, then that's what that means. If that means you stay after and you shoot jump shots or something when nobody else is staying in the gym,
I agree.
That's what
I
that
definitely
means.
Agree with that. What about you, Coco?
Being a great team captain.
What do you think makes a good team captain? Coco? Oh boy, she's gone again, guys. Okay, we're gonna go to the next question. She'll be back. I think she's like driving, which I know in my text I said being in a Wi-Fi zone with earphones or something where you're connected so it doesn't disconnect. But you know, it's okay. I'm not sad or mad. It's not yet. So is there any image that you look at before a game? Because I know some athletes have like a certain picture they keep in their locker or a certain quote that like kind of uplifts them. So I'll start with Aaron. Do you have any quotes that you like to look at before, you know, the game? Or did you call somebody up before a game and be like, hey, can we pray or anything like that?
I don't know if they can hear me though.
So I'm like one of the, like, I have like no routine when it comes to sports. Like, I know that's like unheard of. So there wasn't really anything that I looked to before the game, because winning was enough motivation for me. I'm the most competitive person like on the planet. Just ask your brother Mariah. Like, I don't know how to just chill. Like, I don't know how to play sports or play anything or do anything just for fun. It's always about winning. So that's as much motivation as I
feel. What about you, Monique?
No, I'm right there in the same boat. I don't really have like a routine or anything like that. I mean, I don't know. I'm not like superstitious or nothing. I just ultimately at the end of the day, I feel like, you know, I'm just gonna go get out there and do it. I mean, there's a routine, I guess, of like, you know, making sure I get enough sleep and like doing like that stuff. But I feel like that's I don't know, normal. I feel like people, athletes do that. Nothing special about that. So, right. I'm super competitive as well. I mean, I'm definitely that person. And people are like, oh man, like, here goes Monique. And I'm like, yeah, here goes Monique. Like, I'm ready to play. If you're not ready to play, that has nothing to do with me.
Right. You know?
So, yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. Good. Yeah, Mariah, you could ask Krista. Like, hey, we can't even play Uno without me being competitive.
It's weird. I'm not competitive when it comes to, like, board games and stuff. But if you try to come for me in, like, sports and be on some, like, oh, you can't win, you can't beat me, I'm on some, okay, bet. Let me put my shoes on real quick. If you're saying I can't beat you at this. Because I just don't, like, I don't know. I think my personality is more like, I don't want to be told I can't do something.
Ain't that
like,
funny.
Excuse me? No. So, I mean, I totally understand that competitive. I think that comes with every athlete, though. I mean, yeah, I feel every athlete is somewhat competitive. I've met some that are very, like, I guess competitive, but they're insecure with their competitiveness. So they kind of, like, are scared at the same time. So, I guess it just depends on, I guess, the athlete. So, Coco.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Wow. Okay, sorry. So, no, you're good. So sorry.
No, you're good. You're fine. So, we're going to go back really quick. What do you think, Coco, makes a good captain of a team?
I think a good captain is, I guess, like, an image of a coach and can support their team, you know, during practice, in a game, just hold those leadership skills very well and communication skills. And yeah, just overall being like holding, like being a team leader and want to lead their team to success and to be a good person overall, not just as being a good athlete. So, yeah.
I like that. I agree with that. Okay. What is there anything that, like, do you have like a picture you look at or like a quote you look at before like a game to like help you out?
Nah, I never really had none of that. Not really. It was more of just like, this is what I like to do and I'm going to go ahead and get it done type thing. Like, I never really had that type of like outline for it. For a game day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like you're kind of on the same boat as Monique and Aaron on just like, because I know they were talking about routines and stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Monique, what has inspired you to be an athlete as well as be a good person? Do you feel like being an athlete has helped you with that, or have you just always had that a part of you, like? Got it from your parents and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I feel like I said, when I first started into sports, you know, I didn't even have a choice. So that was just, I was thrown in there. But I think that you kind of learn that you have to be a good person as well as if you want to be a great athlete, because ultimately at the end of the day, it's like, it's so much more than just the sport, you know, like it doesn't feel it, especially on a team sport, right? So you can go out there and have the best game of your life and win the game and just be like, you know, well, and it, or do well. And then your team loses and then everybody else is sad. And then you're just sitting there like, well, I'm good. Like, it doesn't matter to me that we lost. You feel me? It's like, it doesn't matter if you had a good game. You still are going to have to take the burden of the loss, just like your teammates. And so I feel like, you know, you don't want to be that person that is just like not being a team player and not, you know, just be only thinking about yourself. And so I feel like for that aspect. So you have to, first off, learn to be a good teammate. And so I feel like to be a good teammate, you have to be a good person, in my opinion. And also, too, like, outside of that, when you play a sport, it doesn't matter what level it's at. There's going to be people who look at you, and they're already going to have an expectation that you are going to, you know, to be a good person, that you're going to, they have high expectations of you because you play a sport, and especially if you play it well. So then right. there's a lot of people looking up to you, people who, and so it's like, I feel that, you know, you can't just be all about yourself and only look at it like that, because I feel like me being an athlete is really just kind of, in a way, I feel like it's been my identity for a long time. And so right. like I feel like in college, that's when I was like, even then, because being a student athlete is like, it's always being like attached, like athlete in person. So like there is no like way that I can be like, oh well, that's just who I am when I'm, you know, playing the sport or doing whatever, and then I'm a different person when I'm just not playing my sport. Like that's right. not really possible. Like I need to still be that good person on and off the court, the track, whatever. And so I feel like for me, I think it's very important, because I mean, I feel like you, when we were talking about earlier, you know, when people talk about like who they're most inspired by athletically, and most of the time it's like their actual play and what they're doing is like, that's the smallest piece as to why we look up to them or why we're inspired by them, you know. Right. It's like who they are as a person, their character, what they do in their community, and all of those other things really also takes a big role into why we like them so much, you know. So
right,
yeah,
I agree with that. What about you, Aaron?
So this is, let me just make sure like I got the question. So this is what being an athlete, like, yes. how does it yes, motivate sir. You to be like a better person, right? Okay, so I think personally for me, I think that being an athlete, when especially when you're good, but whether you're good or not, like you have a stage, you have a platform, and that makes you a public figure on what. Like it depends how good you are, like it means like how many people you're influencing, but it makes you a public figure. So that's motivation for me to like live my life better, because I realize more eyes are on me than are on everybody else, and there's going to be kids that are going to look up to me. That motivates me to be better. That motivates me to do the right thing, because I'm like, I don't want to be the reason why kids think certain things are okay, you know, or like why kids don't have certain convictions. And like, so right. so it keeps me accountable, like at all times. Like, so even like going through high school, there were certain things just I wouldn't participate in. Like, don't get me wrong, I made a lot of mistakes, but it was just certain things I wouldn't do because I was an athlete, because I knew I had that
I platform. Like that. I yeah. definitely liked what she said. That was good.
Yeah.
What about you, Coco?
I guess for me, like, I'm thinking of ways of like, wow, like I'm being a part of this team, I'm a team player. And so when I get into my job field, like I'm a case manager, so all we do is work together with these clients, and I think being a part of a team atmosphere or a team like basketball or any type of team sport, you really can bring that to your work environment and your workspace and be able to have good communication skills and potentially have that leadership skill if you were a captain on that team. And I think it really shaped me as being a good team, like a teammate, and working well with others. And just like all around, like, you know, just being, I guess like an out, like it helped you with like being outgoing. If you're like kind of in your shell, it kind of brings you out of that. So that's how I feel about sports shaping you as being a better person.
Okay, I like that. Monique, give me one word that describes you. What did you say? Did you hear my question, Monique?
hear me?
Can you hear me?
No, you can't.
Oh, okay, good.
Can you hear me?
Give me one word that describes you.
Passionate.
Passionate. I like that. And why did you pick passionate?
I just feel like everything that I do, like, I put my all into it. It literally doesn't matter. I could be baking cookies and I'm like, yeah, let's get these chocolate chips. Like, that's me for real. Like, it literally doesn't matter. Like, everything, I'm not saying everything excites me, but I feel like I have a really optimistic outlook on life. So I'm just pretty just passionate about whatever I'm doing. Probably maybe a little bit too much, but it's okay.
Keep that. What about you, Erin? Give me one word that describes
you. One word that describes me is determined. Like, I feel like I'm determined in everything that I do to be successful. Like, that's like my, like, driving force.
What about you, Coco? Give me one word that describes you.
A good word that can describe me is motivated. I say that because I feel like I have a lot of goals and it's good, and I'm very motivated to complete those goals in my life.
Okay. All right. Monique, do you think an attitude is a factor in winning? Do you think you have to have a certain attitude to be a winner?
Well, I'm going to say no. Because I feel like I know a lot of, well, first of all, okay, I am a coach. So right. I know a lot of athletes who are literally just the most calmest in their shell, like literally barely speak, you know. And they're just, but they're really good and they just do what they need to do. And then that's that. And I'm just like, wow. Okay. You know, I don't think that I could do well just by like being in La La Land. But you know what? Hey, some of these athletes really are just out here. They're just naturally talented and they can just do what they do. So I don't think to win, I don't think that it's necessary, but okay. I think to like be, I don't know. I feel like to be like great or go beyond just the status quo, then I think, yeah, you need a little umph, you know, okay. A little fierceness.
Yes. Isn't that what your company is called?
Yeah, little plug.
Coco, what about you? The same question. Do you think you need to have an attitude to be a winner? Like, do you think you have to have a certain attitude to be okay with being a winner and stuff like that? Did you hear me, Coco?
Uh-oh. She's left.
She's gone again. Okay, we'll go down to Erin. Erin, do you think you have to have a certain attitude to be a winner?
So I think to win, like, singular, okay. No. Like, I think you can have let's say you have a really talented team one year, and, like, they all kind of, like, they don't have that, like, winning attitude, but, like, they're just super talented, you can win, but to be a winner, like, where that's what you do, like, you win, I feel like you have to have a certain edge to you, and you don't have to be vocal about it, you don't have to be, like, out there with it. So I think that's where, like, because I wasn't super vocal about it a lot of times. Like, I was more, like, chill. I was calm. But, like, I was a killer. And, like, that was my attitude. Like, I'm going to go out there and be, like, an assassin and give you 40. Like, that was my mindset. Like, I don't have to talk. Like, I let my game do the talking type thing. But so I think to be a winner, like, or to have a winning team where that's, like, it's, like, a dynasty, I think you have to have a certain edge and a certain attitude to you. Because, like, my football team, like, in high school, we went 8 years without losing, won 2 national championships in 3 years. like in our attitude, that edge that we had was toughness. We were like, we're the toughest team in America, and nobody could take that away from us. So that's how we went out on the field every game, and that's why we won. But I feel like if we had that a different mindset, it wouldn't have been the same, because we weren't always the most talented team out there. Like, we didn't always have like more D1 recruits than the other team. But I think that attitude is the reason why we were winners for so long.
I like that. Okay. All right, Monique, tell me one of your favorite coaches and why.
My favorite coach is or was my dad. Okay. I mean, like, my dad coached me my whole life besides college. So, and even at that point, like, I remember being down on the track at one of my meets and was long jumping, and I just you know, my coach is literally on the field, and I jumped, and I remember the first thing I did, I'm like looking for my dad to like see what he's gonna say. You know, I'm not even like trying to, you know, not that I didn't respect my coach. Well, you know, my coach at the time was not the greatest. I'm not even gonna sit here in front. but I feel like me and my dad have always like connected, just with sports and like, you know, he was the first person to introduce me to sports, and he coached me throughout my whole life. So I feel like he got me. And I feel that like he could say things in a way that like would just really click with me. And I think that for me, he knew when I was just being, if I was being super emotional, like he knew when it was okay to just like, let me just be emotional. And then he knew when it was like, he had to be like, okay, no, we need to cut this out because, you know, we need to get this together. So, you know, I feel like living with a coach though is definitely, that's a challenge, because it's like you literally finish a game and they want to talk the whole time on the way home about things you could have done better, things that you did well, things that this and that. And you're like, bro, like, I just want to be back here, like, you know, playing my game on my phone. Like, I'm in middle school. Like, I don't want to, like, you know, like, I'm not trying to. So I feel like it's definitely an interesting dynamic, but I feel like I always had an advantage, I feel like, over everybody else, because I'm like, my dad is my coach. Like, I get to go home with the coach. I'm like, I can always get advice if I need it. If it's 2 o'clock in the morning and I want to wake my dad up to talk about something, like, he would be annoyed, but he'd get up and talk with me about it. So I feel like, you know, that's definitely, he's inspired me, and like seeing like where he's gone. And so, yeah, it's always motivation when you live, and you always have something to look up to and look, be motivated by when you're in a house full of athletes. So
that is true, man. I wish I was like that. Gosh, I wish I was like, I mean, yeah, I guess I was like that, but not like the way your dad was your coach, you know. That would have been nice, but it's okay though. All right, Aaron, what about you? Who's your favorite coach?
Wow, I'm so thankful that my dad was not my coach.
Yeah, it can be overwhelming.
I'm glad like you had that great experience, but I feel like me and my dad would have been fighting like 24/7. I couldn't come up with one. So there's my favorite is in like I got to. Like, I feel like I played the best under them. So there was this guy, his name was Coach Rick, and he was one of the dads of, like, a kid that I played with. And he kind of got, like, his separate team together. And, like, when we had off weekends or something, we'd go play in other tournaments, right, or, like, this makeshift team. But he was also our trainer. So he knew us all really, really well. He knew our strengths and our weaknesses, and he knew, like, what made us tick. So we all, like, we'd play games where we'd have, like, 7 of us, and it'd be, like, a tournament game. And, like, we'd all have, like, 18 and, like, 7. Like, so I feel like I played the best under him. Like, so that was my favorite. Like, I had the most fun. And, like, we kind of were out there, like, doing what we wanted. We clicked together. Like, it was awesome. But I think the coach that had the biggest impact on me was my football coach, Coach Toll, from high school. And it's because he taught us toughness and grit, and that's gone so far past just sports for me. Like, he said, like, we're going to be the toughest in the country. Like we hit, like we would do hitting drills all the time and all this stuff. And like, we'd have all these like mental things we'd have to go through and like take like these like mental tests. And like, they do stuff in practice to push us farther. But I've taken that to my job now where, it's not a lot of physical like pain and stuff that you're going through. There's not a lot of physical trials that you have, but it's a lot of spiritual trials and a lot of spiritual battles because I'm a youth pastor. So I've learned that I can push myself so far past where I think I can go from Coach Toll. And I translate that to ministry. So it's like, man, I've been working on this sermon for 4 hours. My brain is turning into mush, but I got to preach in the morning. Like, what do I do? It's like, so I could push past certain things. Now. Yeah.
I definitely think that a lot of people, when they play sports, they take a lot of what they learned into their real world. Like that teamwork mentality, you know, some people didn't ever play sports, you know? So then you kind of have to give them like the gist of, hey, this is how we do this. Like, I don't know why you're doing it this way. Should do it this way so we can all get along. But okay. You know, I feel like, you know, you got to have those talks with people. Okay. Monique, if you could tell one upcoming athlete one thing, what would it be?
Probably just to sacrifice now to reap the benefits later. I think that in growing up, I think that, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying to just have no fun. That's not what I'm saying. I feel that, like, there just has to be a balance. And I think that it's like, if you truly, truly are like, this is what I want to do, you know, I want to, even if they don't want to take it to the next level, but they're like, you know, I want to be the greatest, you know, high school athlete, or I want to go to college and do this. I want to do this professionally. And if that's the case, that, you know, you don't just, how you are, you know, when you're younger, I mean, yeah, you do change and you do mature, but for the most part, it's not like if you've always just had a kind of, if you really weren't ever working hard or didn't really have a discipline, it's not like all of a sudden once you're like, well, once I get to college, I'm just going to flip the switch. And like, no, there is no flipping of the switch. Like, you might be like, okay, I'm going to, well, now that I'm here, I'm going to try to work harder, but which is great. But it's just that I feel like the work ethic and all of those things are developed through consistency. And so I feel like you're going to be able to reap the benefits if it's something that you've been doing and you've been consistent at doing, versus like you trying to all of a sudden like, oh, I have to do this now. And I feel like it's a lot easier, especially when you're younger, to just work hard, have that work ethic. Like, yeah, you might not be able to go to Susie's pool party or whatever because you have a track meet or you have a basketball tournament or, you know, whatever. But at the end of the day, it's like, look, yeah, I didn't get to go to that, but maybe, you know, maybe one weekend you have an off weekend. Okay, cool, I can go to that party and, like, you know, that'll be fun or whatever the case may be. But it's like, the thing is, I just feel like you have to be willing to sacrifice in order to really achieve what you want. Because ultimately, you can do a lot of lip service and say what you want to do, but if you're not really willing to sacrifice and push yourself through those barriers, especially physical barriers and mental barriers. But personally, I think talking about track, I know, because track is just, it's really hard. So the whole point of like getting in shape, that is like the toughest part, you know, but when you're pushing yourself through that and mentally breaking down those barriers, I feel that when you come to that later on in life, it's going to be so much easier for you versus like, it's your first time dealing with that and you're an adult and you're trying to figure it out. You're just like, oh, okay. Like, but when you've been doing that, it's like, okay, you know, I have something to look back on, or like, I remember, you know, this is something that I do. I'm consistent in this. And so I think sometimes it's not easy for people who don't want to sacrifice because they feel like, you know, they're missing out on something. But I mean, the thing is, there is no, I think people think that there's a different formula to getting to where you, to success. Like, you can't get around working hard. I think people try to think, they're like, no, I can do something else. Like, let me do this. Like, no, like the formula, you have to work hard. You have to have work ethic. Like, some people, yeah, naturally are more talented and, you know, maybe they don't have to, you know, work as hard as maybe somebody else who is not as naturally talented. But I think ultimately at the end of the day, to truly want to be great and be where you want to be, yeah, you just have to work hard and sacrifice. I mean, if you don't want to be great, cool. Then just say that and be like, no, I'm chilling. I just want to be average. Great. Be average. You know what I mean? But it's like, don't say that you want to be great or be this person, but you're not willing to do what it takes. You know what I mean? So that's my thing. Just sacrificing and working hard early.
I like that. Yeah. I like that. What about you, Aaron?
So if I could tell like one up and coming athlete one thing, well, it just honestly, it depends how serious they are. Like if they're trying to go to the league, like they're trying to go all the way, I'd tell them, I'd be like, yo, like, of course, like work hard, do all the things you know you have to do, like be a serious athlete, but realize that you are more than an athlete. Like you are more than bouncing a basketball. Because regardless of how successful your career is, it's only going to, like, at maximum, it's going to be, what, like, 20 years? Then you have your whole life left to, like, to do things. And you don't want to be one of those players that comes out depressed. You don't want to be one of those players that doesn't diversify, so you only have $5 million to live off of for 40 years. Like, you want to be one of those players, like a Magic Johnson, where he owns half of Arizona. Yeah. Like, you want to be, like, a Shaq or like a LeBron or like an Alex Rodriguez to where they're about, where him and J-Lo, they're about to buy the Mets. So you want to diversify. You want to read books. You want to make sure you're intelligent. You want to make sure you have other hobbies. Like pick up golf, like pick up fishing. I don't know. Like do something else besides that sport.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of the younger generation definitely needs to hear that, you know? So we're going to wrap it up. Mm-hmm. We have one last question. So Monique, I'm gonna come back to you. What do you define as success?
To be honest, I think success is really just achieving whatever it is that you wanted to achieve in life. I mean, I think that it's also just like a feeling too. I feel like happiness. And, you know, being able to set goals and achieve those goals. And I think that, you know, whatever it is for that individual, I think a lot of times people look and it seems like, you know, they're doing this, so they're successful, but they're successful for their life. You know what I mean? Like that's what they're doing and what they wanted to do. So it's like, I feel like success is really just kind of how you feel on the inside. You know, you feel happy about your life. You've been able to set goals and achieve them. And, you know, then I feel like that's success to me. Being able to set a goal and achieve it, I feel like that's a big deal. To be able to actually dream up something and watch it come to fruition. I mean, because not everybody can do that. And so, you know, and also just being happy. I mean, I think that people take that for granted. Like, genuinely just feeling happy, because you can have all the things and not be happy. And to me, that I wouldn't really feel like I was successful, but then, yeah.
What about you, Aaron?
So to me, like, so when I saw the question, I'm kind of a nerd, so like I like to see definitions and then kind of like compare my definition, like the actual definition. So the definition of success is the accomplishment of an aim or purpose. And for me, success is me accomplishing the aim or purpose that God has set before me. So, like right now, I know I'm exactly where God wants me to be. So I feel like I'm successful right now. Like I'm impacting lives. I feel like I'm a voice in the community. I'm married. Like I feel like I'm right where God wants me, and I feel like that's successful. Because I feel like so many times people think success is, like getting more money, like becoming famous, or like being super popular. Like, I don't know, making the Forbes list. Like, that's awesome. Like, that's really good. But it's like, you can have all that and be miserable. Like, I went to school with like rich kids that had everything they could possibly want in the world, but they didn't feel like they were successful because they had no aim or purpose for their life.
I like that. That's a deep. So, Monique, tell me a little bit about your company. Give me a little bio on it.
Yeah. So I can keep it real short, but yeah, I mean, So I thought of Fierce Competitor like back in 2017, but that was at the time where I had just started grad school. And so I kind of had to put it on hold because I didn't realize how much work grad school was. So, yeah, so kind of just the term Fierce Competitor, that really just kind of resonates with me. I feel like it's a lot of athletes, you know, big athletes and people that will use that term. And what I like about it is I feel like it's not just about being athletic. I feel like you can hear the word fierce competitor, and I think that people will start to think about what that means, and they might have a different definition of what that means to them. And right. So what I think that's what I think is really cool about it. It's just like about just taking life and, you know, at your own speed and just kind of, you know, really just being confident and just kind of getting at whatever your dreams are. And so I feel like I wanted to always start my own company. And so, like, you know, it's a fitness apparel company. And so, like, trying to figure out different designs and, like, things that I wanted to do with it. And, like, you know, because all I wear is workout clothes. And so for me, I was just like, you know, well, I only wear workout clothes. Like, why not? Why, like, pay other people for that when I can just create my own business? And so since this is all I wear, might as well invest in myself. That's kind of how I saw it. And so then, yeah. And so, I mean, it's one of those things where I'm very patient with it. You know, I don't, I mean, you know, I know that the word will get out there and, like, you know, eventually it'll, you know, take off. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. But I know that I feel passionate about it and I love doing it. And so it's been really cool just figuring out, like, different designs, different things that people like to wear, you know, like, because people maybe like different things than I like to wear, you know, and, like, really experimenting with it. And I just really like it. Like, I just want my brand to mean something. I feel like, you know, Nike, Adidas, Under Armour, all of those things, they're great. You know, they've been around for a long time. People are familiar with them. But ultimately, I feel that, like, you know, they're just, you know, just slapping their little logo on the clothing. And, like, that's cool. There's nothing wrong with that. And I know they do have little slogans and things behind it. But I feel like, for me, I want people when they wear it, like, I want them to feel like, okay, like this is dope. Like, I feel like I feel cool in this. Like, I feel like, you know, when I go in the drawer to find something to wear because I'm going to the gym, like, oh no, I gotta grab my Fierce Competitor gear. Like, you know, like, that's kind of how I want it to be, like a feeling or a meaning behind, you know, the clothing rather than just being like everybody else. And so that's why I feel so passionate about it, because I feel like it's different. And yeah.
Okay. Do you want to drop your Instagram so people can follow you?
Oh, yes. It is fierce_competitor on Instagram. And the website is fiercecompetitorsports.com. And yeah. So there's, yeah, that's pretty much it. You know, check it out. Let me know if you like it, don't like it. I want to hear all of it. All of it is great.
We love it. We love you. Yeah. All right, Erin, do you have anything coming up? Because I know you just, I think churches have been opening back up as well as new areas, everything like that. So yes. Do you have anything coming up that we need to know about?
Man, yeah. So with everything opening back up, we got on it. We got busy. So we've been, our youth group has actually been meeting for about like 3 or 4 weeks now. And it's been awesome. Like, we've been having a great time. But so June 30th, we're having a one-day camp. So we're bringing in some artists from Bethel and from Maverick City. We're bringing in a top-tier guest speaker. And, like, we're hosting, like, a one-day camp. And then leading up to that, so on June 16th and 23rd from 1:30 to 4 p.m. at Trinity Church, Explicit, our youth group, has partnered up with the Inspire School program to bring you the EI3 basketball tournament. So it's going to be a 3-on-3 basketball tournament for students in Dallas from 6th grade to 12th grade that are basketball players. So we have some top talent coming through on those days.
Okay. So well, if you are in the Dallas area, go check it out.
Yes. Oh yeah. I'm in San Diego. I didn't even say that. Yeah. San Diego. that's where I'm, but it's online. So it's cool anywhere in the world. You feel me? I'm in Dallas too. I do have men's clothes.
Yeah, men's clothes.
Yes. I'm still expanding, you know. Like, you know, Monique, you have nothing on here that I like. I'm like, let me know what you like. I can find it.
That's good though, because there's not a lot of companies that ask, like, hey, what do you like? You know what I'm saying? So that's good. You're branding like that. Like, what do you like? So I can make it happen.
Yeah, no,
like,
girl.
I can do it. We can make it something. I like that. I like that. So, like I said, if you are in San Diego, hey, look up Fierce Competitor, Don't Play Games. You know what it is. If you are in the Dallas area, he dropped the dates. Where you at? Don't, you know, you're sitting at home doing nothing. Don't play me. So go check it out. Go be a part of these tournaments. I want to thank Monique for coming
through. You're welcome.
Thank you, girl, for coming through. Oh, also, you had a magazine.
Yeah, I did. Well, right? It was I got a feature on the San Diego Voyager magazine. So that was cool. It's like a little interview just to talk about the business. So that was, yeah, that was a great opportunity. I feel like it's really helped, honestly, my business. Like, I want to say this past week, yeah, I've gotten a lot of sales this past week. And I was just like, wow, like, what a blessing, you know? So, yeah, so I'm just excited about that.
I like that. Okay, wow. Yeah,
yes,
I just thought
thank
I should
you.
Throw that there. But thank you, Aaron, for coming through. I appreciate you. You always come through, bro.
Of course, you know what it is.
Again, because he's going to be on again, when we have a segment about what you should know before you get married. Ooh, don't miss it. Teaser. So don't miss out. But I thank you guys for coming through. So this is Speak Up. How do you feel about the whole Floyd situation, as well as, you know, all the protesting and stuff like that?
I mean, honestly, with what's going on right now, it's upsetting that something tragic like this has to happen again for us to finally make for us to take action.
Right.
It's very depressing to see where some of our so-called close people that we possibly know finally seeing where they stand when it comes to the protests and Black people finally standing up and putting their foot down. Not necessarily saying that you know, everyone in our circle or everyone that we love doesn't support it, but you can tell where people's characters are when you ask them, maybe, hey, like, do you want to go to a protest with me? Or, hey, would you mind posting this for me, showing support? And they're kind of like iffy in doing this, doing that. So it's a rough time to see where people you're affiliated with stand. But also, I feel like this is a great time for us Black people or, you know, it's people of color to finally unite against a common enemy, if you will. And it's also kind of great seeing, you know, people who aren't of our color kind of right there with us. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Showing their love, their support. You know, you don't know if someone's genuine or not, but just the fact that they're there, you know, with their fists up, they're linking arms with us and stuff like that. It really is. It's really, truly inspiring. And there are good people out there, you know?
Right. Even though they're, you know, bad and good. But
yeah,
you know, we're starting to see that, you know, there is actually people that care. And I definitely agree with what you were saying about that. So I don't know if you... I don't know if you follow some of the football teams, but did you hear about what Drew Brees said about basically the protesting and everything like that? Were you able to look at that or what?
Yeah. Drew Brees is all bullshit, bro. I mean, I was a fan of his gameplay,
right.
But his character is definitely in question. And I mean, I'm always one to believe in second chances, but for a person of that type of influence to say something like that, knowing the level things are on at this moment, is kind of, it's shocking. You know what I'm saying? It's not like he wasn't aware of what was happening and what people were standing up for. So there's no excuse whatsoever. There's no excuse.
Right. Yeah. They say, I mean, everybody has kind of said the same thing about that you've basically said. A lot of people are very disappointed in him, as well as even his teammates. I mean, all his teammates have been calling him out, as well as just different news anchors. I was watching last night on Instagram a woman talking about it, and she was just like, right now people are getting called out for everything. Like, 100%. I don't care what it is. Like, she's like, especially when it has to do with racial stuff. Mm-hmm. She said it would have been different if he would have got on there and said, like, kind of something about what's going on and then said what he said. But she's like, he just disregarded a whole bunch of stuff. 100%. Like, who does that? And I was just like, I don't know. I guess you guys know how he is then. I mean, you know, it's crazy. I'm not a fan of him, but it's all good.
Yeah. It's,
all right.
Yeah, there's other better people out there.
Yeah. All right, so we're gonna jump right into it. So what sports did you play when you were in high school?
So in high school, I focused on majority baseball, but also played varsity basketball.
Okay, sounds good. All right. Mm-hmm. So what was your favorite, like, sports hero? Because, you know, as a kid, you always, when you grow up, you have somebody that you look up to while you're playing sports. So who was yours?
My favorite probably would be Jackie Robinson. He's one of the main reasons why I started baseball.
Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, tell me a little bit about him, because, you know, some people actually, they might know him, but they really actually might not. You know.
Yeah. So, I mean, Jackie Robinson was a huge inspiration in the Black community when it came to standing up for his race. You know what I'm saying? He joined a sport that was, if not all, Caucasian males. And he beat the odds in fighting for what he believed was right. And he got a lot of backlash for it. A lot of, you know, racist people threatening him, trying to burn his house down with him and his wife and stuff like that. But he didn't stop fighting, and he became one of the greatest baseball players of all time. And that kind of, at that time, started, not want to say a trend, but kind of, set the path in motion for people of color to join sports. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I definitely agree. I remember learning about that actually in school. I think certain schools actually did, like, research on him, and, like, we had to watch videos about him, especially being an athlete and everything like that. So I definitely agree with your choice of a person that's a hero.
Yeah, 100%.
So what emotions do you feel when you play sports? Because, you know, some people, like other people I interviewed today, said, you know, I feel nervous. Some people said, you know, I feel confident. So what do you feel when you play sports?
I mean, whenever I play sports, no matter how good I was at it, or how many times that I've been on the field or on the court, I always, like, have, like, a small shake, like a shiver in a sense. I think it's not necessarily nervousness, but, like, just waiting for something to start or something to happen, whether it's you're at second in line to be at the batter's box, or you're waiting on your knee for the ref to call you in to start the game again. You know what I'm saying? So I always feel a sense of kind of like strength and wanting to not necessarily please the people watching me, but more inspire them to give it every single thing they have. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's pounding through the two big men in the post to get a layup, or taking an extra base when it's so close for you getting out, stuff like that. It's just putting your all on the field to show people that you're not quitting, you're not giving up.
Wow, I like that. So why did you start playing sports? Did your parents used to play sports when they were younger, or did they just push you kind of into it?
Well, so my dad is, he played professional cricket. And he traveled the world. He was supposed to play in Dubai, but during that championship, the day before, he hurt his back. So the time of recovery, just, it wasn't going to correlate with the time that they were about to play. So he continued to play professionally once he got better. And he still plays now. He's 65 years old, still travels the world to play, not professionally, but he is in a league. They do championships, all-star games, stuff like that. So my sports came from him. I started off with soccer. And then while doing soccer, I went to swimming. while doing both of those, went to basketball and then started rolling into baseball, baseball being my favorite sport. And then went to football. So I played basically almost everything.
Right. I feel you. So you have an accent.
Sort of, yeah.
So I know you're from New York, but where is your descendant, like from your parents? Like, where are they from?
So descendant-wise, my mom and dad are from Jamaica, straight from Jamaica. Got their green cards and came over. And then my dad's father was Cuban, and my grandma's mother, so my great grandmother was Cherokee Indian, Native American.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Look at you. You're just like, you're like everything.
Yeah, a little bit.
That's cool. That's cool. Okay. So, I've had debates with people about this next question I'm about to ask you. Mm-hmm. So do you feel that when you're an athlete, you should listen to music before the games? Or do you think that sometimes you should not listen to music and you should just be in silence and kind of like get to know the inner you at that moment? So which one do you do?
I mean, I was kind of 50-50 with it. Like if we were on like a bus ride somewhere, I would definitely put on some music. But whenever we were, you know, doing layup lines or we were doing batting practice before the games, like I never wanted to listen to music because I wanted to be so focused in the game, whether it's hearing the ball bounce on the court or hitting the rim or hearing the ball hit off the bat and people, you know, calling out air ball or ground ball hit first base, stuff like that. I wanted to be so indulged in what was going on. Right. So I like the sound of everything that's going on while I'm preparing for a game.
Okay. So you're kind of, you're iffy, like, yes, but no.
Yeah. Yes, but no. I like to stay focused and I don't want to get hyped from a song and then, you know, not perform well. I want to make sure that if I didn't perform well, at least I know that I was focused before the game and I could do better, if that makes
sense.
Right.
Yeah. Looking for improvements in all areas. Got you. Okay. So were you ever a team captain?
Yes, I was a team captain for many years in baseball and basketball. Not in high school though, because there was people who played before me, so they had the favor. But definitely growing up, I was the captain.
Okay, so what do you think is a good to be a captain? What qualities do you think you need to have?
I would say definitely posture, how you carry yourself when something goes bad. I would say. Inspiration, someone who inspires others just to keep fighting no matter if they get a strikeout or no matter if they hit an air ball continuously, stuff like that. And someone who's also forgiving, because you already know how it goes when it comes to sports. Sometimes someone could lose the game for you and the whole game they were just off, or their attitude just sucks the whole game and it kind of brings everyone down. But someone who's forgiving to say, listen, like, you didn't play that well today, but we're going to do better. Don't worry about it. Stuff like that.
I like that. Yeah, definitely. Did you bring those qualities when you were a captain, when you were younger?
Oh, 100%. I made sure everyone was lit during the games. I made sure the coach was on his A game. You know what I'm saying? I feel like a captain should always know what the coach thinks as well, like how the coach thinks. So that way, if the coach misses something, then you can kind of fill in, say, listen, this is what happened, blah, 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 whatever.
Got you. Okay. I see you. Okay. So my next question is, did you ever look at any quotes before you did, like you went out for the games, or did you look at any images that kind of helped or motivated you during the games?
Not necessarily. I've always had quotes that were already placed in my head and they were just stuck there that I always told myself. Even on my phone now, my home screen is a quote that my job kind of posted up, but it was always remember why you started. And then one that I created, I don't think I've seen anyone say this, or I'm not sure, but the one that I say personally to my brand is inspire to inspire.
I like that. So what made you come up with that? Like, what was the spark for that?
I mean, just people, I always had that look up to character where people always wanted to see how I would do things and shit like that. Sorry, this is stuff like that.
You're good.
Sorry, when you start to get into it, you know, something might slip out.
No, you're good. You're passionate.
Yeah, it's all passion. But yeah, I always had that kind of looked up to quality and inspired to inspire. Why I love that and why I always say that is because you never want to build something without a team, because you want to be held accountable. You want new ideas because you're not you don't want to be the smartest in the room.
Right.
And inspire to inspire is basically, listen, like whatever I know, whatever I can inspire you to do, I want you to take that, build with that, and inspire someone else to do the same thing. So it's a continuous circle. Inspire to inspire to inspire, inspire to inspire other people.
Okay, I like that. Well, you talked about inspire, and my next question has to do with inspiring people. So, okay. How does being an athlete inspire you to be a good person?
I mean, just the qualities of an athlete, you know, someone who's determined, someone who's consistently committed, because you can commit to something but not consistently take action. So someone who's consistently committed, someone who's dedicated, someone who's loyal, someone you can trust. You want to trust your teammates. You want to trust your coach. Right. So someone who is trusting as well, and someone who's hopeful, someone who keeps the faith and keeps it pushing. You know what I'm saying? I believe that's very great qualities that you can learn being an athlete, that you can transition into the world of just being a not a perfect human, but a very good human that can help build others up.
Right. Okay. So what's one word that describes you, or that someone else has said, when I think about you, this is the word that comes to my mind?
So my love language is affirmation. So people tell me stuff all the time. I'll say loving and inspiring. Definitely inspiring is a big one, but loving as well.
Okay. Well, that's cool that you just told everybody your love languages, you know what I'm saying? So you guys, if you don't know him, just know when you meet him, make sure you know. Give him some words of affirmation.
Yeah, okay? Listen. Thank you. You'll get me in trouble.
I know. I'm sorry.
No, I'm single. I'm joking. I'm completely joking.
See? Okay. I'll just let you guys. He said he's single. Okay. I tried to give you guys what you need to do. Okay. So, all right. So our next one is, do you think attitude is a factor in winning?
100%. I mean, you have good attitude, and then you have, what's the word for it? Kind of a bully attitude, but like in a good way.
Okay.
Attitude is like, listen, guys, like we got this. We just need one more out, stuff like that. Or listen, like, make sure you watch the ball, like, you know, giving positive feedback so that someone could become better. And then what I say as the bully attitude is when you, excuse my French, but when you, you know, someone's not doing so well, or they have like a certain attitude to them and they're kind of bringing everyone down. It's like, dude, like, listen, I love you. You're doing great. I know you're freaking capable, but quit the bullshit and get your shit done. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like that bully attitude. Right. Like, you kind of rough them up a little more.
Right. So I think everybody needs that, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
I kind of compare both of those on my perspective of just like a chihuahua from like a pit bull.
you kind of have to have
both of those type of, because if you know a pit bull, you know, they're like, a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them are aggressive. A lot of them are very much like cutthroat, boom, right? Mm-hmm. And then if you've seen a chihuahua, you know, they're kind of like, oh, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, so I kind of compare those. That's just me, though. But yeah. Okay. So our next question would be, if you could have played any other sport, what would have been? I know you said that you played like basically all sports, but did you ever play cricket?
No, I never played cricket. But when I would go to the park with my dad, I would definitely, you know, practice with them a little bit. But another sport I would have possibly done, maybe boxing. I'm really into boxing. I definitely want to train for boxing, not competitively necessarily, but I want to be fluent in boxing, if that makes sense.
Okay, that's good. Have you ever did MMA?
I practiced MMA at one point, but never really took it serious. It was just kind of like a fitness hobby, just to try something different. Same thing with boxing.
Okay. Yeah. You should definitely look into those. Those are both really good. Mm-hmm. They're actually very fun and they keep you like very much in shape.
Yeah.
You
have, like, yeah, really most definitely.
Coach. So yeah, those are, you should definitely look into that. Mm-hmm. So who was your favorite sport when you were, or being your favorite coach when you were younger?
Coach Basse. He was my baseball coach. He turned me into a freaking predator on the field. Like it was insane. Shout out to Coach Basse in Mount Vernon. He basically built me up in Brush Park, which is the baseball park we played at. He's the epitome of a great leader.
Okay. I like, do you ever go back to your old, like,
So I definitely passed by there a couple of times. During the summertime, occasionally, I would try to make it out to like his new younger team's games and practices and whatnot to give a little feedback on how to be a leader. Like he'll ask me like, hey, like talk to my boys for me, stuff like that. So I definitely show love.
Okay, good. I like that. Giving back.
Yeah, 100%.
It's good. Okay, if you could tell one upcoming athlete one thing, what would it be?
Repeat that one more time.
Oh, if you could tell one upcoming athlete one thing, what would it be?
I would say give it every ounce you have because no one's going to do it for you.
Okay, can you explain that?
Well, yeah, I mean, the support system can be there, but no one's going to put in the effort for you on the court. They're not going to shoot the ball for you. They're not going to help you better your dribbling. They're not going to help you get faster. You have to want to become great.
Right. That's good. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of kids need to hear that.
Yeah.
Okay. What mental tool do you use when you're under pressure?
Stay focused. I mean, whenever I'm under pressure, I always think of my teammates and I'm like, listen, they're putting in 100%. I need to give 110. I got to keep going and I can't stop. So I would say that helps me stay focused. On the other side, I do want to win, but, it kind of puts me in a zone to where it's like, I'm not going to give up on my teammates and I know they're not going to give up on me. So when we're at 100%, we try to give 101, 102. Just keep pushing past your limits.
I like that. Mm-hmm. I definitely like that. I feel like as athletes, when you get into that, especially when you get into college, at least, I feel like you have to do way more than your teammates sometimes. Mm-hmm. Or you have to kind of show out a little bit because there's so many people that are as good as you or better.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's good. Did you play sports in college or what?
Yeah, so I at Rockland Community College, I played, they were Division II, so I played Division II baseball for 2 years.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go far in it? Like, did you want to go professional?
So I did want to go professional. I was good. I wasn't great. But I was really good. If anybody who listens to this knows stats, my batting average was a 315, which is really good.
Okay.
I threw people out from left and center field all the way to home. But I knew I can become better. I was fast as heck. I ran a 6.6, I believe, or 6.5 in a 60-yard dash.
Wow.
I was good. The colleges that had scouted me from that college, they didn't have my major in that I was pursuing. Okay. So I couldn't attend those. And the college that I attended now, which was Pace University, they gave me a really, really, really good academic scholarship. So I had to take a sacrifice.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You had to take an L?
Yeah, I had to take an L.
Oh man.
But hey, on the bright side, just graduated.
Okay.
I started working for a fitness company and that blew up within the 2.5 years I've been working with them, from traveling to Dubai to being on Good Morning America, stuff like that. And it's definitely to being sponsored by companies. So it's that's how God works.
Hey, I know. Hey, one door closes, another one opens. Yeah. That's what I've heard.
A lot of doors open. Listen, because God knows how much I freaking love baseball.
Right. I bet you that was definitely probably hard.
Well, yeah, but, it was hard.
I mean, you made the decision, and even making that decision, you still got the glory. Yeah. You know? So, it's all good.
Yeah. It's all good.
All right. So, do you coach any sports?
I don't. I mean, I'm a fitness instructor, so if you want to consider that coaching. But I do have people who are athletes who follow me on my page on Instagram. And they ask me fitness guides and stuff like that, but they also know that I was an athlete. So they tell me how they can get better, how they can stay focused, and how they can go about situations and stuff like that, specifically when it comes to baseball and basketball.
Okay. That's good. That's good. So you're still able to help out.
As much as I can. That's good.
You're right. All right. So what was your favorite food to eat before?
Buffalo chicken. Oh, well, before a game. Before a game, I wouldn't eat much actually. I'll maybe get like a protein bar or something like that. I love to chew on sunflower seeds during baseball games. During basketball games, you know, it was just maybe like a salad and a protein bar or something like that, or like some trail mixes. But I thought you asked for my favorite food of all time. I was quick.
Ladies, you heard what he likes, okay? So didn't eat pasta before a game?
No, that was a thing though. That was definitely a thing. I know a lot of lacrosse players, field hockey players, the wrestling team, stuff like that, they always ate pasta, but we never did that before our games.
That's crazy. Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe it's because like I feel like all sports are different, like with like the carb load, I guess you could say, because like football players before their game, they would eat like a lot of food, a lot of food before a game. So it must have just been the difference between sports. But that's so cool that you love like chicken, like buffalo chicken. Mm-hmm. I just think that's great. I mean, I like buffalo chicken. Like I do. Okay, like not even throwing shade at your buffalo chicken at all, but. I'm more of like a salad girl. You know what I'm saying?
Have you had a buffalo chicken salad?
Yes, I have. I make it at home though. Like I'm more of a home person. You know what I'm saying? Like I like to cook it at home. I'd rather not go out. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes when you go out, they kind of like you can make it healthier at home than at the restaurant. Because sometimes they be adding some stuff and you be like,
I feel you.
Yeah, I didn't want all that. Yeah. I just wanted the buffalo. I just wanted the
chicken. Yeah, I feel you. <all. laughs>
You know, I'm just saying. That's just what I'm saying, okay? Mm-hmm. You know? All right. What did you give up by playing sports when you were younger?
Sleep.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I gave up sleep because I'm also a huge video gamer as well. So right after sports, if I didn't have homework, so I'm playing Call of Duty with the bros. So definitely sleep.
Okay. Do we still play Call of Duty now?
Oh, 100%.
Or we just like, so we're still in the zone.
Oh, yeah.
We want to.
Yeah, I'm much more busier now. I've got a lot of more stuff going on, whether it's providing content for the sponsorships that I'm in and the fitness journey and doing the classes. But I definitely play when I can, 100%.
Okay. I know you said you graduated from college. Are you going to undergrad or what?
So I graduated with my bachelor's in fine arts, major graphic design. But now I'm done with school. I've been done with school since pre-K. Yeah, I'm over this. I got my bachelor's. I'm out of there. I'm out of there. I'm out.
Oh, man. I can't. Okay. All right. Well, that answers my question. What do you define as success?
I mean, there's different levels of success, but as long as you're happy doing what you love, that's success.
Okay. That was a quick.
Yeah, plain and simple. As long as you're happy doing what you love and you're giving everything to do what you love, that's you're successful. Because not a lot of people can do what they love. Sometimes they don't go to college, and that could be a reason why the job that they want to pursue doesn't hire them. Race. Some people can't get the job of their dreams because of their skin color. You know what I'm saying? So as long as you can get to do what you love and what you have a passion for, that you'll be successful. As long as you're happy, just be happy with whatever you're doing in life. You'll be successful.
I like that. I like that. So we're going to wrap up, but I have one last question.
Let's do it.
So what, what is your goal for this year? For like career wise and everything like that. What's your
goal? So, I mean, I have a lot of goals. The goals that I had placed this year manifested already with the C4 sponsorship and also the Lululemon sponsorship. But my goals that I'm really trying to pursue right now is creating a strong YouTube presence, getting more into vlogging. Okay. So last night I invested in myself, as people should when they're chasing your dreams, and I bought a brand new Canon M50, the whole set, lighting kits and whatnot, and trying to get the YouTube presence going. As far as like top goals, I really want to own my own fitness gym. That's my major goal. It's going to happen. And first, I love music. I love energy. I love people laughing and smiling and coming together. So my second biggest goal is I really want to own a club.
Okay.
Yeah, I really want to. And I have a lot of friends who are super passionate about DJing. Shout out to my boy DJ Eli. I went to high school and middle school with him, and he's tearing up NYC right now. So I want to give even him like a space where he's just the house DJ. People come to see DJ Eli. So shout out to my boy. But yeah, that's another big goal. I love bringing people together. I love helping people win. So if I can create these two, I think I'll build an empire. Have people who just got their NASM certs who need a job, dude, like come work at my gym. I got you. You know what I'm saying? So I like to think of other people.
Wow, you have a heart. Yeah. Makes me happy. You know, some people don't have hearts. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if you've met people.
No, that, trust me, I have.
And I just feel like, wow, you have no heart. Okay, well, I gotta go. Gotta blast. Okay, so is there any upcoming events you want to tell my podcasters that they can come join you? And you can drop your Instagram, you whatever you want to drop. This is your moment.
So follow me on Instagram for sure. I'm very active. I always message back and always show love back. It's @fit2conquer, T-O for two. So @fit2conquer. You can find me on Mariah's page. I also started my YouTube channel. It's also Fit to Conquer. I'm going to be posting a video soon. I haven't posted a video yet, so you probably won't find me. That's still up and coming. It's under construction. And also, I'm Barry's instructor. Greatest workout in the world, if you ask me and other people as well. So definitely follow me on Instagram. I teach live classes on Zoom. So if you want to come take a class, I'll get you in for free for your first time. You check it out. I think you'll love it. And yeah, God bless.
Okay, and you're in New York,
I'm in New York, yes. I'm in New York, currently living in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, okay, okay. So if you're in New York and you're listening.
Yeah, show some love.
Go, go, go. Yeah. Like, he dropped the places, he dropped the Instagram, where are you? Like, go. Like, get there, or be a square. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for coming through. I appreciate you and everything like that. We definitely have to, you know, do some stuff together.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for the love.
I have to visit New York. Oh, no problem. No problem. It's always love. It's always love. I definitely need to come visit New York and see what New York is, you know, doing and everything like that. Sure. You know, it's on my bucket list. Okay. I have a big bucket list. So I gotta start.
Yeah. Make it happen.
You know what I'm saying? So, so yeah, but thank you for coming through, and have a good rest of the day.
Thank you. You as well. Enjoy.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care.